Really quick, we'll dismiss the kids 3 years of age to fifth grade. You have children's church upstairs.
It is really good to be here today. It feels like home. Feels like old home week. Ho ho, the gang's all here. So many faces, so many familiar faces. You guys are my family. I see a few new faces, and this place has been expanding. I see to the left and to the right, and I believe a year from now, this place is gonna be packed because God is doing something in this place. And I sensed it when I drove in really strongly last night. God is doing something in this place. All along the whole river, clear up the corridor, He is getting ready to explode in this place. And I will tell you that the presence of God is so strong in this house that there is a sound that comes out of this place. And I don't know, because you're in the midst of it so much, if you realize the sound that comes out of this place. But I remember, I was thinking last night, you know, before I ever became a part of this church, when I would just drive by, because we had property up the river, and we would drive back and forth as we were building our house, and I would see this place, and I would see the sign out front, the Life Center, making lives better. And there was something about that that just called out to me, even in the place I was in at that time. And when you read my story, you'll see the place I was in at that time was far, far away from the Lord. But something called out to me. And there is a sound in this place, and I believe that if we could label the sound that comes from this place, it's the sound of the Father. I believe the Father, His presence is very heavy, very resonant in this place. There's a portion of His Spirit that so calls that person back to Himself who has strayed. That person who has felt exactly what Jewel was talking about this morning, that they had gone too far, that they had done too much, that there was no way back to Him. But He's standing right here at the end of the aisle with His arms wide open to anyone who walks through those doors, calling them back. It's the love of God that draws us back to Him. It's not rules and regulations. It's not the do's and the don'ts. And it's not beating us over the head with a rod because of all the wrong choices we've made. It's the love of God that calls us back, and that is so resonant in this place. And not only corporately, but individually. As I was writing my book, I will tell you that revisiting every single step of my journey was very healing for me. And it was excruciating at the same time because I visited all those places that I had not visited in so many years. But when I got to the part where you all came into my story, I was blown away. And I so many times had to stop because of the tears that rolled down my face when I remembered each and every one of you and how you spoke into my life just when I needed it. And how the Lord used each one of you to bring healing into my life in a different way. And that's what I mean when I say that we all carry a sound. Every single person carries a sound. And it's even been proved scientifically. I am not even going to go into that because that's way over my head. But John and Becky can explain to you how scientifically they have proven that we all carry a frequency and a sound. And each one of us have a different sound. And it's pretty amazing because it really ties in with what God has destined each one of us for. No two of us are the same, but we all have something to bring. And I love that scripture. In fact, I wrote it down, and it really, really reminds me of you guys, what you have in this place. It's out of Romans 12, 4, and it's verse 8, and it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And there's a whole lot more, even besides that. But each one of us, when we function and we move in our identity that God opens up to us, you know, as we live and we move and we breathe in Him, and He opens our identity up to us, right? From glory to glory to glory. It's a process. But each time we go from level to level to level, we are embracing more of who we are. And so when we do that, we can become conduits. To everything He pours into us, we pour back out. And that's what I see in this body, and I'm so thankful to you. I wanted to, before I really jump into what God has given me, because I so agree with you, Pastor Kelly, about what God is doing in this valley. It's about redemption. But if I can get this book to stay open, I just wanted to read to you one part of my book that was to all of you. Hang on, I'm going to set this down just for a minute. Such tiny writing, I have to use my glasses for this. Okay, it's in chapter 28. It's at the very end. And it's a chapter that is called Loved Back to Life. I say at the end of it, I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Kelly and Kari, as well as my forever family at the Life Center in Kamiyai, Idaho. It was all of you that God chose to love me back to life. You wrapped Jonathan and I up in your arms. You taught me, you mentored me, and then you released me into my destiny. You did what God called you to do. You are the Life Center, and you are indeed making lives better. And I just wanted to thank all of you guys before I really jump into my message, because you will never know the impact that you have made upon me. And I felt like God wanted to stamp that and kiss it today to honor you, because I could not and I would not be where I am today if I had not come into this house and I had not been loved back to life by each and every one of you who were part of my journey. And I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Because we all have the choice to not do that, don't we? We have the choice to keep what God has given us and not pour it out. He gives us that choice. He doesn't make us. We're not robots. But when we choose to take that which He's given us and we pour it out, He multiplies it and multiplies it and multiplies it. And I want you to know that He has done that in my life. He has multiplied what you guys planted in me so many times over, and I'm able to pour out all over the place, everywhere I go, because of what you poured into me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. So when I was praying about the word the Lord wanted me to bring today, He really spoke to me regarding, you know, the different places where we're all going to be at, because everybody's in a different place. We all, as I said earlier, we go from glory to glory to glory, but some people are in a really good season. Some people are in a season of promises fulfilled. Other people are in a wilderness time. And, you know, it's really hard when you're in that wilderness time to sit there and listen to somebody who's in going from mountaintop to mountaintop, isn't it? It's really hard. I mean, you want to be happy for them, and you know that you should be. But when you're in that wilderness time, sometimes all you can see is what's right around you. And I believe that today the Lord really wants to speak in particular to those people, because His heart is that in those places of the wilderness that we discover who He is to us in that place. And that will bring us out and into those wide open spaces, those spacious places He talks about. But when we're in the wilderness, there's some key things that He wants us to look at. And when I just really prayed over this whole message, what He gave me for a title of this is Building an Altar of Thanksgiving in the Place of Brokenness. And brokenness is an icky word to most of us. We don't like it. We don't like being broken. And brokenness can come through many different things. It can come through loss. It can come through grief. It can come through losing a job. It can come through just many, many things. Family troubles, addictions, abuse. There's many things that can bring us to a place of brokenness. But God has something to say about this place of brokenness. He doesn't turn a blind eye to it. He's very aware. If you're in a place of brokenness, he's very aware of your whole situation and where you're coming from. And a scripture that really jumped out at me was, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." That's Psalm 51:17. And when I was just meditating on that and just thinking back over my own life, I saw that it was actually in every one of those wilderness areas that I had ever walked through that I really came to know the Lord in a new way, that I would have never, ever experienced him had I not gone through that wilderness. Now, some of my wilderness experience was self-made. I mean, I got myself there. And then there was some that wasn't. It was just things that happened, because sometimes things in life just happen, and because we live in a fallen world. And there's really no reason that we can give for why do bad things happen to good people that serve the Lord. I've been asked probably more than anything when I go to conferences that are specifically geared towards grief or healing. People have said, "Do you believe that God took your daughter?" No, I don't. You want to know why I don't? I don't, because he is the author of life. And I don't believe that he prematurely took her. I believe that the enemy did. And I believe that in Scripture he tells us that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does tell us that. And the enemy does that. He does that every day on this earth. But there's another part to that scripture in John 10:10. "But I am come that you might have life and have life abundantly." There is that side. And what he wants us to do is come to a place of such complete wholeness that whatever we face on this earth, in this dimension, we are still walking in life abundant. And that is possible. I mean, I think sometimes we get so geared towards the wilderness that we don't see, we don't have eyes to see beyond it. But Jesus even said that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And there is a beyond the wilderness. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he went into the wilderness, and we will never know what he went through during those 40 days. We will never know. It doesn't tell us all the stuff, but we know that he encountered Satan himself 3 times, and the wild beasts and everything else that was out there, and not eating a thing for 40 days. We don't know what he went through, but we do know that when he went through that, he found and received strength from the Father in a way that he never would have if he had not gone into the desert, into that wilderness and that fasting time. And when he emerged in power, didn't he? He emerged in power. And that's what God wants to speak to you today, is that even if you are in that wilderness time right now, there is an end. There is an end to it. It is not going to go on forever. But there are ways to expedite it. And we want to look at that a little bit. One thing that he gave me was that there are some people here who feel like they have been in a cycle and gone around and around and around, and they keep going around like a hamster on a wheel. And they feel like, "I've been here before. Why does this keep happening? It's a cycle. It's a cycle." And the Lord would say to you that there is something he wants to show you about this. And one of the things he showed me was in this new year, it's a new Jewish year, 5777. Most of you probably know that. But when you look up the meanings of these numbers in the Hebrew language, they have pictures with them. They give a lot of insight. And I do that every year because I want to know prophetically what God is saying when this new year comes about. So, of course, 7, you think completion, perfection, finishing, all those things that we normally think of with the number 7. But I looked and dug a little deeper, and one of the meanings is to grip or traction. And I thought, wow, to grip or traction. because I believe that the Lord is saying that this is a year that many of you are going to break out of that cycle of just repeating the same thing over and over and over. And you might say, well, how am I going to do that? You're going to get a grip. You're going to get a grip on truth. Truth. Because when we repeat these cycles, what's happening? We're believing a lie. We're believing a lie. If we are stuck and unable to move forward, it's because we're believing some lie. And the Lord wants to show you what that lie is that you're believing. And he wants to replace it with his truth so that you can be free. The truth will set you free. And I really believe that the Lord is just nailing that down in some of you today to let you know, because you have been crying out to him and saying, how long, O Lord? How long? I have been going through this all of my life. How long, O Lord? And I think this year, I believe with all of my heart that as you press into him, he will show you that place. He will show you that lie. He did that to me many, many times. Every time I would reach a new level and I couldn't go forward from that. Why? Because I was believing a lie in some area. And he did that so many ways. I remember specifically one day when I was so despondent, and it was after my daughter had died about a month after, and I was driving on my mail route, and I could hardly function. I know that some of you have been in a place of grief in your life sometimes where you can hardly function, but I knew that I had to keep going, and there was just something within me, which I believe was the Spirit of God, that kept me going, getting up every day, going. But I just had about reached the end of it, and I missed my daughter so desperately. I wanted to hold her, and I ached for her. And I was feeling it especially that day. And I remember being between boxes, and I pulled over to the side of the road, and I just laid my head on the steering wheel, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I just want to die. And I was really in that place. I just wanted to die. I was just done. And when I had my head on the steering wheel, I sensed very strongly a presence come into the car beside me and sit right beside me in my mail car. And it was Jesus, and I didn't see him with my eyes, but I knew he was there. You just know when the Lord comes in and sits in a car with you. And what he said to me was, I am the resurrection and the life. Because what I had been saying to him previously was, Jenny is dead. She's dead, dead, dead. And it was hitting me, because for a while, just the grief of it and the shock of it had almost insulated me from that knowledge, right? But all of a sudden, it was hitting me. She's dead. She's dead, 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 dead. And he said to me, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this, Debbie? And I said, yes. But as I said yes, I thought about that, because I had heard that scripture all of my life. All of my life. And I think so many of us who grow up in church are prone to this, where we hear the word so much that we don't think about the word. It just is the logos. It never becomes rhema. But when he said that to me, though she were dead, is what he was saying, yet shall she live. Believest thou this? Yes. Yes. And when I got a hold of that, I realized that Jenny hadn't died. And I can't tell you what that did inside of me, because my daughter was still alive. And I would see her again one day. And there is something so powerful about that that set me free that day. Not that I didn't grieve her. Not that I still don't long to be with her. But something set me free that turned that thing for me. And I tell you this because there are areas of your life where you're believing a lie too. You're believing a lie, whatever it may be. The Lord has a truth for you that will turn that thing. Turn it and set you free, and you can move forward. And so that's just one area that the Lord wanted to speak with you today. Some of you may be in just totally impossible situations. Your life is shattered into a million pieces because of circumstances or people or abuse, or maybe you're in addiction. And the Lord has an answer for you. He has a truth for you. He has an encounter for you. A lot of times in the area of addiction, there's an encounter that God has for you. And all I would say to you today is position yourself. You might say, how do I do that? Position yourself to receive an encounter with the Lord. He will come to you when you build a seat for him. What does he say? He says, I'm enthroned upon the praises of my people. I'm enthroned upon the worship of my people. He will come into a place if you choose intentionally to glorify him as the king in a situation. The day my daughter died, my pastor at the time said something that a lot of pastors would shake and tremble to say. But we were all standing in the hospital, and the doctor had come in and told Mark and Wendy and I that they had tried everything. Jenny couldn't be revived. And there was the leadership there with our pastors, and they were standing there. They wrapped us up in their arms. But one thing my pastor said is, he said, I am trembling to say this to you, but I am hearing the Lord say that we all need to raise our hands and worship him right now. And I can only imagine how hard it was for him to say that to us. But you know what? Something in that rang true. Because it wasn't that we were worshiping him that Jenny was killed. It was that we were establishing his kingship over the situation. And when you do that, and you put him on the throne in your situation, he will move mountains. He will move mountains on your behalf. He will wipe out the entourage of assault from the enemy. Whatever your situation is, if you prepare a place for him, if you position yourself, if you will learn to build an altar for the Lord right within the jaws of the enemy, you may feel like you are right there in the jaws of the enemy and he's about to clamp his teeth shut. You might be in a financial situation where you see no way out. There is no way out in this dimension. And so you might just say, well, I see Leviathan, the great dragon. He's about to close his teeth over me. You know what? That's the perfect place to say, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. There is nothing impossible with my God. And I praise you and I worship you because nothing is impossible. And I praise you and I worship you because you are worthy. And you know what? That does take some intentionality on our part because it goes against everything that our flesh tells us at that time. We want to get down and just, you know, we want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to cry. And I am not belittling your situation at all. I am not. But when you are intentional and you do your part and you build that altar and that seat for him, he will come in because he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you bring him into a situation, he can do what you cannot do. He can do, and he will do amazing things. I have seen amazing miracles in my life when I have built that place for him. And I believe he's challenging a lot of us today, even this Thanksgiving season. As we sit down, go around the table and tell him what you're thankful for. And not only this way, but this way, right? Vertically and horizontally, because the people in your life need to hear it too. That's why it was so important for me to say what I said to you. And Pastor Kelly, he wrote the foreword to my book, and it was like a warm blanket, what he wrote. And if you haven't read that foreword, it wrapped me in a warm blanket. That's what it feels like when someone speaks into your life. And you need to do that. You need to love on your brothers and sisters who have come up alongside of you and been that person who stood in the gap for you. But at Thanksgiving, just do that. Build him an altar, no matter where you're at, no matter where. Okay, I spoke of wholeness. You know, I really do believe that wholeness is something that he's really emphasizing, and we need to come to that place because, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he said to his disciples, I won't be here very much longer, but the enemy has nothing in me. He was talking about the prince of the world, Satan, coming to do his thing. But he says, the enemy has nothing in me. And we see every single day that this world that we live in is getting darker and darker and darker. It's exactly what he said would happen. It's happening right before our eyes. But that is not a time for us to get in fear. We sang it today. We're children of God. We're no longer slaves of fear, because when we come into that place of our identity, we do not have to bow to that fear anymore. We are to arise and shine. And he wants us to begin to live out of Isaiah 60. And we cannot live out of Isaiah 60. We cannot live out of that place that says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. We cannot live out of that place if we've got these things, these hooks, these lies in us. And so he's calling us to a wholeness and a completeness like never before. So I encourage you to just press into that, because I know that there are different things he's been putting his finger on in your life, and that is to bring you into freedom. Another thing is, I want to emphasize is, when you're in that place and you're feeling like you are having to choose which way to go, like you've come to a place and it forks in two different directions, there's always going to be that opportunity to choose. And when you choose to run to the Lord with it rather than run away from him, he will show you how to push through those things, how to get past that. He will give you an upgrade if you will give him those things. In Isaiah 61, we have to give to him the ashes before we get the beauty, right? We have to give him the ashes of our life, but he will give us beauty in place of that. We have to give him the mourning. We're mourning. He will give us that oil of joy. He will give that to us. He promises that. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, but we have to give him that spirit of heaviness. I spent many, many years running away from him because I felt like what Jewel talked about today, that I couldn't approach him. But you can. It is never too late as long as you have breath in your body. It is never too late. I love the illustration that God gives us. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, it is a beautiful prophetic picture of what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to just look it up and read the whole thing, but I will tell you that it's out of Matthew 14 if you want to look it up just to see what I'm referring to. But there was a few things that the Lord did here that he really showed me were very prophetic to this whole situation. When the loaves and the fishes were brought to him, it was at a time when they needed a miracle desperately. And he said, bring them to me. Bring the loaves and the fishes to me. That was the first thing. So that's what I was talking about a while ago. Go to the Lord with it. That's in verse 18. And then after that, it said that the Lord gave thanks. He blessed it. Now what the Lord will do when you give him what you have, all of your junk, is he will take it and he will give thanks and he will bless it, like he did the loaves and the fishes. He will bless it. He can take the ashes and the ugliness and he can bless it. And then he broke it. And there in that word is what the Lord really just, I felt him 3D that word to me. He broke the loaves and the fishes. And there is that breaking time. There is that time of just laying there and saying, God, this is where I'm at. This is the mess of my life. Take it and do with it what you will. He will do that. And then, after he broke them, he handed them to his disciples, and they handed all of these pieces of fish and bread out, and they multiplied as they were handing it out. It multiplied over and over and over and over. And what the Lord is saying to you is that whatever you give to him, out of that place of brokenness, he will use it and he will multiply it. He will multiply it. And not only will he multiply it, but he will begin to feed the multitudes. And there is a call on each one of our lives. It's different. Every one of us have a different call. And as I look out over you, you know, I see different callings on different lives. There is, like I said before, there's a sound each person carries. But whatever it is, if you give it to the Lord, He will multiply it, and He will use it to feed the multitudes. So, you know, we just see a really beautiful prophetic picture there. He is calling us to have abundant life. And I read a post yesterday by Pastor Kelly, and it was the reading that you guys have been doing, the daily reading. And it is a passage that he has been so highlighting to me that my whole spirit jumped. It was out of Ezekiel 37, where Ezekiel is prophesying to the dry bones. And I know that Shirley Ann has been getting this too. We talk a lot on Facebook, and she kept saying, I keep seeing this everywhere, and I have too. And, you know, as I've prayed into this and prayed into it, the Lord just really showed me again yesterday as I was reading Pastor Kelly's word about the dead bones. I mean, we have dead bones in our lives. It's like broken, shattered dreams. There they are. And God is saying to you, each one of you, can these bones live? Can these bones live? He said that to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel said, only you know, Lord. And that's the truth, isn't it? Because we don't know. When something is so shattered and so broken, we don't know. We know that we've done everything we can do. And at that point, it's really up to God. But what did he say? He said to Ezekiel, speak, speak, speak to the dry bones. And I think we miss a lot there. We miss a lot because we think we do talk a lot, right? And I'm not bashing, you know, going to a counselor. I am a counselor. I'm a licensed counselor. But I think there comes a day when you have to quit talking about your mess. You have to quit talking about your problems to people all the time. Now, let me step aside and say, I have seen many people set free from counseling. But you know what one of the names of our God is? Wonderful Counselor. If we would go to Him with our stuff and quit talking to everyone else about it, we would begin to speak to that thing and speak to that thing and speak to that thing until it becomes what He said that it should be, right? And there is a man right here in your congregation who changed my life with the very demonstration of that in his testimony. And I didn't see it happen. I came after. But John Swan got up one day in his Sunday school and he told about his accident. And it was so phenomenal to me, the way he said that he would go up to the mirror every day and he would speak to himself. And let me insert something here too. Where did he get that promise? Because someone spoke a promise to him when he walked into church one morning and he was a broken and crippled man. It was Jewel. Jewel Anderson. What if she had not done that? What if she had sat on that word, right? Don't we all get words sometimes and we hold on to them because we think, ooh, I don't know if I should say this. Let me tell you, when the Lord gives you a word, speak it. You have no idea what that's going to do for someone's life. You have no idea, and you have no right to hold on to it when you get a word like that. So she steps out, and she speaks to John, and she says, the Lord says to you, and I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't there, but she said, you will do everything you did before, and not only that, you will do it better. You will do more. And there is not a more active man that I know than John Swan. But what he did was every day he got up and he spoke the word of the Lord to himself in the mirror. And he spoke it to himself and he spoke it to himself and he never stopped, even if it didn't change day after day after day. He saw himself the same in the mirror, but he remembered the word of the Lord and he spoke it over and over and over again until he became what that word of the Lord said he would be. And he is a walking, living demonstration of that. And it totally shifted something in me when I got a hold of that truth. It was so amazing. And I believe that the Lord is saying to some of you today to just to begin to speak to that thing in your life, whatever it is. Because surely if you seek the Lord, He will give you a specific word. And one word from God can change your life. It did me. It can change your life. Begin to speak the word of the Lord over your situation and see that change come about. It will happen. It may not happen for days. It may not happen for months, but it surely will happen because God's word is creative. And when you release it into the atmosphere, it becomes living. It's like moving. You can see it almost. It's like creative, and it begins to create that thing. God watches over his word to perform it. So speak that word. Speak that word, and maybe don't talk about it anymore. Be careful of your words. Speak life. Speak life to your situation, and watch God shift it. He is doing that in this hour. He is doing that. He wants us to rise up in this hour and become that body that is going to actually take the earth back. We are called to be kings and priests, and we cannot do that if we're broken, if we're lying broken in many fragmented pieces. He wants us to rise up and begin to lay hold of those things that he purchased for us on the cross. It's more than words. It's an actual laying hold of it and advancing, right? But it is intentional. It is intentional. It says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, violent men, intentional men, lay hold of it. You have to lay hold of the truths. If you don't, you'll stay in that same place. You know, you'll stay in that same place. You won't move forward. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to stay stuck. I was stuck for a long time. God is ready to break his people out, right? So there's a lot more, but I am just going to close with another thing I saw the other day. It was so powerful, and it was a word, and I printed it off because it goes along with this, what I was telling you about everybody carrying a sound. It says, this is a word that Chuck Pierce, a lot of you know who Chuck Pierce is, he posted it. It's a prophetic word that was actually given by another gentleman, but it was so powerful, and it's very apropos to this word today. Everything that moves has a sound. For even when I was on the cross and my drops of blood hit the ground, there was a frequency that was released. That frequency caused the whole earth to shake and healing to explode because the dead were raised. Even now, I'm sharpening your ability to tune in to my frequency and my kingdom frequency. Just as you tune a radio to a dial into a station, and all you hear is static, but now even I will cause you to tune into my kingdom station. No more static, but perfect hearing. You will hear the frequency of depression as it walks by you in the marketplace. You will hear the frequency of cancer as it walks by you in the marketplace. I am releasing a whole new way of hearing. No longer will you rely only on your finite senses to discern. When sickness and disease and bondage pass you by, you will release the frequency of my blood upon the people. You are receiving a whole new revelation of my blood in this hour. Everything that moves has a sound. My blood is still moving, and it is still flowing. From the day it was released on the cross, like me, it is not dead. Match the frequency of my blood in the earth and watch nations shake and devil-entrenched kingdoms fall. Look at Seattle. They turned into a frequency in one accord, and they caused the earth to shake. Have you guys heard of the Northwest Rumble over in Seattle, that revival that broke out? That's exactly what they did. They prayed and they tuned in to the frequency of the Lord for revival, and it busted out. I really do see that is going to happen in this area. You will do even greater things, for you will cause kingdoms to crumble when you match the frequency of my blood. Everything that moves has a sound. Everything that moves has a sound. And God is just releasing that word over you today, that you would go out and you would know that what you do out there matters. It matters. Don't just drive past when you see somebody or when you even sense something. Stop and minister the kingdom into that area. I shudder to think what would have happened had Lisa Dominguez not continued to persist after me. I don't know where I would be today, but she answered that. She was tenacious. She was like a pit bull because I tried everything to get her to stop. I was living in so much fear, and I loved her dearly, but she wouldn't stop. You know, she is the softest spoken person I have ever known, but she is the strongest. She is tenacious, and there is the spirit of an evangelist in Lisa. When she is out there, I mean, you try to get her up here with a microphone in her hand and she'll run a sprint, but you get her out there one-on-one, that's her sound. She will sit there and tell a person about Jesus. She will tell them her testimony. She will tell them someone else's testimony. She will not let them leave without experiencing and tasting Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Pat, I really want to say Pat Hunter has a frequency and a sound of joy. She's like a little bubble of joy that sidles right up next to you and bursts all over you. And it's so true. Nobody can make me laugh like Pat Hunter. I remember when I was paired, and I really am going to close. I see the time. I was paired up with her, but it was so important because it was at a time when I was gut-wrenchingly in agony in my life. And I came here every chance the doors were open because this was my home, this was my refuge, this is where I ran to. And I got paired up with her somehow in a play that we were doing for Christmas. And I really didn't know her other than a few statements she had said to me, you know, in Sunday school. We talked a little bit about different teachings, but I didn't know her personally. And she and I began to work on this play that Debbie Sheets wrote. And it wasn't even really funny, was it? It wasn't funny. And we were like, you know, and it was just kind of, we were struggling through. And she would look across the table at me when we were working on our lines, and she'd get this little dancing eyes that she gets, a sparkle, and she'd say something that wasn't the lines, and I would bust out, and it would always be hysterical. I mean, she is hysterical. And I'm telling you, I laughed one time. You remember that one day? I mean, we had to run to the bathroom because she almost made me pee my pants. She is hysterical. I had tears running down my face and my side hurt because she just wouldn't quit. She's so funny. And she did not know. She did not know that that healed me. It healed me. Laughter truly is a good medicine. And you think something like that, you think, well, what's that? It's huge. She began to heal me. She began to heal me. Even the day we got up here and performed it, we blew our lines so many times, but she would come up with these one-liners that were hysterical. And we had people laughing with us, not even really knowing why, but she just had those dancing eyes. And she has that. She carries the oil of joy. She carries that oil. And she ministered to my life. I could go on and on and on with so many people. Use your sound. That is what God is telling you. Use your sound, because you carry a sound in this community. The Life Center is that. It's life. It's life. And there's a lot of dead bones out there. And you guys can go out there, and you can call those bones together, and you can ask and call for the four winds of God and ask Him to breathe life back into those people like you did me. Thank you. I'm going to hand this back over to Pastor Kelly.